Welcome to People in Digital, the podcast. My name is Amélie Behrens. I am a CX design and leadership coach. I'm leading the CX revolution towards the human-centered design era. No more, no less, my friend. And with me, you're going to take action, build confidence, and deliver in the most radical human way. Here is what I propose to you. Every week, you'll discover a new episode focusing on a mix of big picture thinking and step-by-step actions to follow through discussions with experts who are passionate about people or the digital industry or both. Also, I craft special episodes to develop your mindset and your self-awareness because that's where lies your superpower. It's packed with everything you need to know to build a better, more impactful, and more sustainable business in your industry and make the best decisions for your career or your business. So, what are you waiting for? Start taking action and create a positive impact today by signing up for the podcast. It's like a little commitment for yourself because the only way forward is to focus on people and yourself, of course. I'm also very happy to invite you to the Leader Attitude, the only newsletter that helps you to take your power back by focusing on mindset, people, and execution. It's an exclusive weekly email that you can read at your own pace to help you remember the concepts. I will also notify you when I launch new stuff, products, group coaching, trainings, and other fantastic surprises, of course. Sign up today on amelieberens.com. All the links are also in the description. And join a growing community of leaders like you who have decided to take a turn in their career or their business. Oh, and one last thing. Please remember, it's always a good moment to start. On to the podcast now. Hello, hello, my friend, and welcome in a new episode. You are going to love my guest of today. I promise you this podcast episode will make you feel empowered, energized, and so ready for whatever is waiting for you today. You're about to meet Danielle MacLeod. She's the co-founder of Remarkable Women. They offer online development programs, life coaching, eating psychology coaching, keynotes, and transformation events. Everything I support and wake up every day for, I'm a huge fan. They propose a new way of being, a bolder way of doing, bigger than you can ever imagine, and it's easier than you think. And the best part? It's super actionable. You can start today, and you know how much I love that. I think that it's always a good moment to start, so maybe today is the day for you. In this episode, we discuss why it's so important for women to develop their leadership, what's leadership for women, what's a warrior, a queen, or a victim, how do you become one, and many, many, many more. You will love it. Danielle's energy is contagious. You will love it. So without any further ado, let's go. Welcome, Danielle. Welcome on the show. I'm very, very grateful you are here today because we are going to dive into a very important topic, a very special topic, leadership, but not just leadership. I mean, otherwise, I see people looking up, so, okay, leadership. No, no, no. This time it's women in leadership, remarkable leadership, maybe feminine leadership. I will let you tag the leadership as we go. But I'm very excited about that topic. I think it's a very important one, like I just said. So before we start and dig around this, Danielle, please, can you tell us who you are and what you like to do?
Yeah, of course. So I am, my name's Danielle, as you know, and I'm co-founder of a business called Remarkable Women. But, you know, that's the business thing. Who am I as a person? I'm an obsessive reader. We were just talking about that before we came on. So much so that I cried on my first day at school because they made me play with toys and they didn't teach me how to read a book. And all I wanted was for someone to show me how to read so I didn't have to wait for other people to read to me. And so that's been going on from my life ever since I was like 4 years old. And so I am an obsessive reader. My business partner laughs at me because she said, I think the answer to everything is in a book. And I do, because my mom taught me that there was nothing new in the world and that if I could read, I could find the answer to anything. And so I am quite a fun person. I will say that. I love to sing karaoke in private bars where it's just me and my friends. But you'll never find me happier than when I'm curled up with a book, to be honest. And these days, because of what I do, those books are about how people behave and how we think and what would it take to be in a world where we could all be good to each other, I guess, is probably where all of my attention, my reading attention goes. I live in Scotland, in Edinburgh. I'm very lucky. I face out onto the River Forth. I can see water every day. Mm. I have a husband, John, and a little French bulldog called Jessie.
Oh.
And really our favorite things to do is just kind of go out and walk and eat great food. Everyone needs to eat great food, don't they?
I'm with you on everything.
So like none of those things sound exciting, right? But they had like great conversations, great books, great company, great food. That's me.
Love every bit. All right. Thank you for that. Thank you for presenting yourself. And now that's the moment where we start the talk. My big question to start with, why is it so important today to develop our leadership as women?
Well, I'll tell you why it was important to us. So firstly, it wasn't my plan to go into women in leadership. That wasn't my intention. And I was working for a major organization in the UK and they chose me as like the poster girl, literally. They made these massive posters of me. They were on toilet doors. It was really nice. as one of like four key women who were supposed to be showing everybody else how it was done. And at the time, they were asking me to go and speak at conferences because I love to speak. And I was like, I don't even think women in leadership's a thing anymore. I grew up in construction where it was horrendous. And many years on, I was like, I don't feel like I've been really disadvantaged. But if I'm going to go and speak on these stages, then I need to understand what I don't know. So I went reading, as you would expect. And of course, what I found was I was really blessed to be in an organization where it didn't feel so tough to be a woman. But also what I started to see over time was there is a way of leadership evolving that for most of us, we describe it in Remarkable Women is like warrior-led leadership. So this idea that we fight for what's right, we kind of grit our teeth and we suck it up and we get to the other side so that we can create the things we want to create. And I, for one, am really interested in a world with more heart in it and a world with more love in it. And what I saw, and we did a load of series of interviews at the beginning with high potential women, was women telling us, I do want to make a difference. I really want to make a difference, but I'm not really willing to play at the very high echelons because I don't like how they play up there. And I don't want to trade my health any more than I already am. And I don't want to mess with my relationships any more than I already am. So I'm going to hang about here. And I'm not going to do the things I think I'm capable of because it doesn't look like it's worth the trade-off. And so from my perspective, and also my business partner, Nick's was like, that's terrible. We have all these women with these great capabilities and they're not saying they're not confident. Actually, they're saying it's not worth it. And so for me, I didn't want to persuade them that it was worth it. I wanted to say, I think we might have another way. I think we might have a way that means you don't have to make those trade-offs anymore, or at least not in the same way as you were. I mean, it's not perfect, right? But I think we can show you a way to have bolder impact and for it to be easier than you're experiencing right now. Because I believe the world needs balanced energy. And I don't believe women bring all one thing and men bring another, but I do believe there is a specific type of leadership that has flourished in the Western world, at least for a really long time, that needs a rewrite. And so the work that we do with women specifically is teaching them what could that rewrite look like and how do we show up differently. And it's the funnest work in the world.
It looks like it. So, okay, please tell me how you would define this new way, how you rewrote or are you rewriting this new leadership? How would you define that for somebody who knows nothing about it?
Yeah, great. So we call it the art of queen leadership. Love. So yeah, I know it's a bit radical. The word offends some people, but it's the best archetype we can use, right? So imagine that the warrior, we always talk about three places to stand in our leadership work. So the first place is the position of the victim. Right. So everybody understands that. Most people think they don't do it. We all do it. Right. Because the victim is saying, why does this keep happening to me? But more importantly, in organizations, it would all be okay if only they would get their act together. Right. If they would change, it would all be fine around here. Right.
Oh, yeah.
And I've just come off like two conversations today where people were saying that. And I'm like, let me show you another way. Let me show you another way. We can be really addicted to that as a way of being. And so what happens in organizations is loads of gossiping, loads of colluding, loads of bitterness, actually, and like apathy. And most of us don't think we do it that much, but we do it more than we think, right? There's often a lot of, look at that bad person over there doing the bad, I'm a good person, right? And so that's mindset number one. Mindset number two is the warrior, which I talked about already. I will beat this if it kills me. Mm-hmm. And what's happening in almost every organization, small and big, that we've ever spent time in is women and men are showing up in two warrior ways. So one is that we're fighting for a cause. And we forget, by the way, that warriors are trained to die for their cause. So it's not a clever way of being unless you want to die young. Because at some point, a better warrior than you comes along and takes you out, right? Yeah. But lots of women will go to me, oh, we're not doing that. I'm not doing that. But I would say this, the other behavior of the warrior is I will die for my cause. And what that looks like is burnout, right? And so if anybody listening to this has ever had an experience of burning themselves out, or even as simple as getting sick on Christmas Day, right? I will say they've got warrior inside them. Mm-hmm. This sense of, but I have to do it because it's the right thing to do. It sounds right, right? It sounds right. It's how we've built leadership for a really long time. And yeah, excitingly for me, there's a third way, which is the queen, right? Which is about discernment. It's about wisdom. It's about who am I? What do I stand for? But I'm not going to fight you for it. I'm not going to declare war against you. I'm not going to convince you. I'm just going to be a strong, clear stand for what matters to me. And if you want to come with me, great. But I don't need you because I'm the boss of me. So if the victim's saying, why does this keep happening? And the warrior is saying, I'll beat this if it kills me. The queen is saying, I create my life. I'm the boss of me. In the most clear, unaggressive, unconfrontational way, here I am making my own choices. And that allows us an awful lot of freedom. It allows us an awful lot of opportunity to show up in conversations in a different way and to not be swept into the vortex, is how I would describe it. Do you know, there's this great analogy of like the crab pot. And how when crabs are trying to get out of a crab pot, one crab pulls them down every time. And I think the system has been going the way it has for such a long time. It's like being in the crab pot, right? Okay. Someone's just going to go, no, we do it this way. Like, this is urgent. Rome is burning. We have to make more money, all these things. And so for me, it was like 4 years of experimentation when I was leading 10,000 people, so a lot, to see what would happen if I brought more of what I really think matters to leadership. And unpopular though it might seem, and wishy-washy though it might seem, I think we need more love. I just think we need more love and we need more humanity. And we need to remember what we are doing this for. Mm. And from that place, good news, we create amazing results. Yay. Really amazing. Yeah. The commercials come when people are in love with what they do and they are seen as human beings. And so that's really the message. I'm out in the world with my business partner and the rest of the team at Remarkable Women teaching all the time. How do we lead with love?
This message resonates with me a lot. And this is such a beautiful message and very strong as well, and very strong. And you started saying that, okay, this approach is a little bit new and, you know, it's a bold message. So I guess you can also maybe tell me what is the people get wrong about this approach, because there is some beliefs or some, you know, some cliche that comes up regularly to you.
What do you think, and
it is totally wrong.
It's a great question. I'll give you two that I think are really helpful. So one is a thing women do all the time and think they're being queen when they're not. And the other is the question that always get asked. So the question that always get asked to me when I'm doing keynotes is, yes, but Danielle, what about commercials? Like, we have to be leaders. We have to make tough decisions. And it always makes me smile because right at the beginning of my keynote, I always show people what my results were. So it's not like I'm not commercial. Mm-hmm. Right? But it's like everyone's like, oh my God, Danielle's telling us just to hug a tree. Right? And I'm not saying that at all. Actually, great queens operate with what we describe as ruthless compassion. Right? So ruthlessness means I am saying the things nobody else is saying. Right? Because I'm in service to you. I'm in service to the group, the family, whatever it looks like. And I'm saying them with compassion, i.e. I'm remembering there's a human being sitting opposite me. And so what that allows me to do, because you understand that I see you, is say the things nobody else can say. Mm. Right? And so often what people think is I'm just telling everyone, love is really powerful. I love that you said that. Right? Love is not some wishy-washy walk all over me and I'll still love you anyway. It holds you to account. I love you so much. I don't want to watch you sabotaging your life anymore.
Yeah.
And so it's not wishy-washy at all. And often, let me give you a really big example because I know you have some big leaders listening to this. Here's a thing that goes on in restructures. Let's go there. One of my favorite topics. Done many in my lifetime. Right thing for the business, which by the way is code for we're about to do something crap to people always, right? And so let's make some job cuts and then let's not tell anyone about them. And every time they ask for them, we'll create some lines that are the truth, but are a version of the truth, right? So pre-pandemic, we were talking about artificial intelligence taking away a lot of jobs. Mm-hmm. And I worked in several organizations where people were kind of coming to me and saying, yeah, but hang on a minute, they're going to take our jobs away, aren't they? And I would speak to the senior leaders and say, are you planning to? And they would say, yeah, we are. And I'd say, and what are you doing about it? Well, we won't tell them till the last minute, right? I mean, that's not how they framed it, but that's how it was. And in a world of leadership with love, we don't crap on people like that, right? What we say is, yes, absolutely artificial intelligence is coming. Absolutely, this organization is going to change. Almost certainly some of you will find other paths for yourselves. Shall we create that together?
Yeah.
And when we create it together, what we don't get, or what we get less of, because we can't make this perfect, is the behavior that we always get when we crap on people, right? And the behavior that we get when we crap on people is war.
Yeah. Right?
We get rebellion or we get submission. And neither of those are creating positive waves in the world, right? So in a world where I lead with love, I am honest. And I'm not politician honest. I'm human being honest. So that we can create together. I don't pretend it's not happening and then drop the bomb, right? Because all we do is deteriorate trust all the time. And we fall behind process. And you know what? So the law is my favorite thing, right? Because I'm just like going off on one here, but I hope you're okay with it. The law is like the lowest acceptable moral standard, right? It's like if you break the law, then you have literally gone below the moral standard that all of society will accept. Mm-hmm. You don't make that the baseline for your behavior.
No.
Oh, we didn't break the law.
Yeah. No, you can't stand up and proud saying, but I didn't break the law. Yeah. I mean, you can't feel good about yourself. No, there is no.
And that's what we're seeing. I mean, like P&O is brilliant at the moment. You know, the examples, mm-hmm. I know this is going to go out shortly, where they've consciously chosen to break the law and said, we accept the consequences, right? Like we've just lowered the baseline again, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think what I really am keen to show people is that with truth and honesty, we can create something far more powerful.
Yeah.
And that human beings are very rightly resentful when they feel manipulated. And a lot of leadership has a lot of manipulation in it, packaged up as not being that. Which kind of leads me on to the second point, if it's okay with me to go there, because I think it really matters for the women who are listening. Sure. I have a lot of women come to me and say, I'm being queen, Danielle. I'm being queen. So I'm working with this person who's an asshole. So I'll use that language. I hope that's okay. I'm working with this person who's an asshole and I'm trying all the things. And I'm being really lovely and I'm being really open and blah, blah, blah. And they won't play. And that is not queen leadership. That is passive aggressive manipulation.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is, and what I want to show you is, the other person is behaving badly towards you. And women are really trained in this thinking. It's fascinating. We've been trained to please, right? And we've been trained to peacemake in a really inappropriate way, is probably how I would describe it. So we think, if I go up and show I'm a good person, that person will start playing with me and they'll respond. But actually, if I don't mean it, right? And what I mean by that is, if I were to say to that person, do you know what, I'll fire that asshole tomorrow, and you were to go, hallelujah, I'm so glad you've done it, do you think that other person can't smell it on you when you rock up to have a conversation with them? So at least they're being honest in their bad behavior, but yours is hidden under this, I'm a nice person.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And so this queen leadership is, how do I really get honest with myself before I kid myself, oh, I'm doing the good things and they're the bad person, right? So it's, on the surface, it sounds really simple. Let's bring more love. Let's bring more honesty. Let's bring more creativity. But it is like, I mean, I've been doing queen work on myself for the last 8 years. And part of why I teach it is I still have to listen to myself. It's powerful. When it works, it is off the scale. The impact that it has, but it doesn't mean that sometimes I don't want to follow my old bad behaviors, because they're trained into us at a really young age, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a constant work as well, first to unlearn and then to learn something new. But then how, you know, what's the most common reason that we fail at being a queen then?
I think the most common, well, there are lots really, but I flip back into worry about this. Actually, it's really easy. I think that there are circumstances where worry is justified. And so and we have this all the time. Someone will literally come to me or Nick and go, yeah, but you don't understand, this time worry is worth it. And it always makes me smile. I actually had someone the other day, it was so lovely. I hope she gets to listen to this. She texted into a group, I think you just have to fight like a queen. I was like, no. Right, this sense of justice that rises up in us has us gird our armor and go and fight, because this time, enough, right? And what I want to say, which is really, really good news for anyone who's willing to play and listen to me, queen trumps warrior every single time. I am not asking you to do this because it's a nice thing to do. I'm asking you to do it because it will change your life, right? And when we go to war with other people, we do not feel good about ourselves. We don't. And then we do things that we don't feel good about afterwards that we have to try and justify for years to come. We make the other person worse than they are in our stories so that we can feel okay about what we did. And even though we might win, what we do is we create losers. And when we create losers, we put a load of people out in the world who are a bit hacked off, right? And they have a ripple effect. And so the invitation to me is always, how can we do this like a queen? How can we do it like a queen? And so just recently, I'm often have women come to me who want to negotiate an exit, for example, and they're ready, like I'm off to court. And I'm speaking to an organization at the moment who are building a model to allow people to kind of track case history in case they ever need to go to court. And it's a really powerful piece of work. But what I said to them was, when are you going to help them understand that the warrior behavior is going to wear them out? Now, I am not saying, and I want to make this distinction for everybody, that you don't create a situation where you get what feels good.
Yeah.
But if you do it as queen, it becomes much easier, because you get to play with different conversations. Because when we're in those conversations and we think worry is justified, all that happens is I walk into a room with you, say it's you and me, and I've decided I want to leave and you've decided I'm rubbish at my job. You are waiting for me to say something wrong so you can write it down on your pad and use it against me in case we end up in court. And I am doing exactly the same thing to you, right? So basically, we're having a conversation and there are guns under the table.
Yeah.
Who draws first? Right? Warrior to warrior. Strongest warrior wins every time. Usually, if you're a single person warrioring against an organization, let's face it, your chances aren't very high.
No. Right?
They're not very high. But if you can leave the guns outside the door and you can walk into a room and look somebody in the eye and say, I'm not here to create a fight, but I am here to have an honest human-to-human conversation. This is a mess. And I would never choose to take this to court because I understand the implications for me and I understand the implications for you. Can we sit here and get creative about another way? Often people say no in the moment, and that's cool because the Queen's not in a hurry. No, she's not in a hurry, right? And yeah, the way warriors create trouble is they go fast. We have to decide today. No, we don't. We don't. Of course we don't. Who made this rule that we have to decide today, right? And so often I'll teach people to say, I'll say, walk in, put something on the table. This is what I'd like to create, and say, I appreciate you'll need time to think about this. And I also take a high guess. Your first answer is no. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to get up and walk out. Let's reconvene in 48 hours. See where you got to then.
Powerful.
Yeah. But my desire is for us both to feel good about this at the end of it. Or as good as we can, right?
Yeah.
And so the whole game all the time is to navigate a conversation that most people are just not used to.
Yeah, right? That's a completely different frame of a discussion.
Yeah. Because otherwise we're pretending. All that's happening is I'm in there as a leader of an organization going, I have to get this person because we can't be seen to be in the wrong. And the other person's like, they're all tow rags and they need to burn in hell, right? You can't get a good solution from that place. You can sign a contract, but nobody feels good about it, right?
Yeah, sure. But that's something, now I'm listening to you and it makes a lot of sense. I feel the power inside me say, yeah, I can be a queen. I can be that queen. But I know as well that the warrior inside me will urge something at one point. So how do you overcome that?
Oh, bless you. It's such a good question. So the question of the queen is this, and this is where we have to go. My warrior, like properly, her arm is over there in the corner. She wants to go and grab it fairly regularly. And I have to sit her down and go, it's not your turn yet, honey. Queen's going first. If we need you, we'll come and get you, right? But it's not easy. And what I would say is, the warrior really grabs her weapons when a couple of things are occurring. One is there's a sense of injustice, usually. Yeah. The second is somebody has made you feel like a bad person. And so what I mean by that is, you know, if you're in a meeting and somebody says, this is not the right thing to do. If you were the architect of that decision, then what you hear is you're a bad person. And when we hear I'm a bad person, we defend ourselves because it doesn't resonate with our belief about who we are, right? So we go into attack. We don't want to hear I'm a bad person, even though that person didn't say it. So when we make people wrong, we invite defensiveness. Once we understand that, when people make us wrong, we know that our immediate reaction is defense. It's a tiny, tiny shift, right? But we understand then our immediate reaction is defense. And it's not to say that we can contain it all, but the more we practice this over time, the more the mind says, oh, this is what we do. Somebody's made us feel like a bad person, right? And so the question the queen is always asking is, how am I creating this? How am I creating it? So if I was to take us out of business or leadership for a minute and just go into, let's go to marriage. That's always fun, right? So my poor husband gets to be an example of lots of things, but it's me showing you my weaknesses, not his, right? So I don't know who's married or who's in partnership on the call, but anyone who's been in a relationship knows arguments follow exactly the same pattern every single time. Always the same. And for us, it usually results in one of us walking out of the room and the other one threatening to leave, you know, if it's really going to the extreme end. And so what I saw was I am really convincing. The warrior's really convincing. And I'm really, really good at arguing. Like I won every debating competition I ever entered from 12 to 18. I wanted to be prime minister for that very reason because I thought that's what you did. You won arguments, right? And so you're not going to beat me in an argument, but I will manipulate you in that argument to be right. And so what I saw was I would spend a lot of time trying to persuade my husband of another position. And he would often try and point back to me in the same way, but I could beat him down. But the arguments would get more and more accelerated. As soon as I can let my brain just hear that question, how are you creating this, Danielle? How are you creating this? Even if I'm really angry, a tiny bit in me winds down. Just a tiny bit that says, I'm creating it because I'm pushing a point and actually we need a break from each other right now. Or I'm creating it because I've decided I want to win versus be in love.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so it's not that it's an automatic flip. It's not. But it is that over time, the more and more you practice it, the sooner you can recover. And me and my husband have an agreement, this will make you laugh, around if we find ourselves in an argument and it's really got tense, both of us, the only question we have to ask ourselves is, how am I creating this? Right? Which is really hard because people go, why should I apologize? It's not about that. Mm-mm. It's just, what is my part in this? And the very first time we did it, I went off to one room like a good girl and he went off to the living room and I was like, right, how am I creating it? What have I done? What have I done? And I could see the things I'd done. And then my husband walked in the room and he went, anyway, you did this, 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 this. And I was like, we're supposed to be playing. How am I creating this? But fair play to him. He was angry, but he went off and did it again, right? And so over time, you learn how to do it. But yeah, it's not an immediate switch on. But every time you practice it, you see results. I promise you. I said to somebody recently when they were coming to me with an issue that they want, a conflict they were working with, I said, this way of being has never failed me yet with any of my clients. I said, when it fails is because they choose something different. I said, but I'm open to you being the first. I'm open to you being the first because it's got to go wrong at some point. And she had gone in to have this really challenging conversation and she texted me after and went, it was terrible. Like, I failed. It didn't work. I did everything you said and it didn't work. And I was like, oh man, here we go. Like, now I've got my first case study. 2 weeks later, she texted me and said, you'll never believe this. They've been away and thought about it and they've come back with this.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So don't give up. Try and try and try.
Just patience, right? And we're in a rush.
Yeah, I really like that. It's the second time you raised that, and that's, oh my God, that's true. We always feel like we don't have the time. We always. And when it's the victim that raised, you know, somewhere, that is raising somewhere, yeah, is there specific stuff we can do about that victim?
Yeah, well, it's so fun. Like way back in the day when we first started, you can spot a victim really quickly because you're insisting that everything would be fine if the other person would change.
Mm.
Right, you're insisting that. And then what you do as a victim, which is so lovely, is you gather all the evidence to demonstrate your point. And then you get annoyed because there's more evidence, right? And there's this really great quote from Maya Angelou. I mean, love her, she was a queen, right? Maya Angelou was a queen. And she says, when someone shows you who they are, believe them, right? So when you're in an organization and someone is predictably behaving the same way all the time, or an organization is predictably behaving the same way all the time, you sitting there going, why don't they change? It's a waste of breath, right? Because they've shown you who they are.
Yeah, true. Right?
They've absolutely shown you who they are. It's consistent. It's the same every time. So getting more and more righteous about when they do the same thing they've done 100 times before is just a waste of breath, right?
Yeah.
And so the invitation then is to say, knowing that they are who they are, now what do I choose? Right? Because the thing the victim forgets of all the characters, the victim forgets that they are the boss of themselves. Right? Yeah. And so they're often bought into this story of, but it has to be this way. And usually victims, everybody does this, by the way, it's not specific to victims, but I've got this problem and my choice is stay, where it's all a bit crap, but at least my mortgage is being paid or whatever that looks like, or go into the scary big beyond where it might all go horribly wrong. And so I choose to suck it up and stay. And then I'm going to moan about it till the end of my days and I'm going to wear everybody out around me. And it is a lie that there are only ever two options. It's just a blatant lie. The mind tells us that lie all the time. But in a world of infinite possibilities, I mean, let's face it, right? If you and I wanted to right now, we could just burst into song.
Yeah.
Right? I could switch off this laptop right now, go and get in my car and just drive north till my petrol runs out.
Mm-mm.
Like, we have so many options in front of us and the victim acts like their only choice is to suck it up.
Okay. Yeah. Makes, again, a lot of sense. What I really like in that queen and what is very inspiring is the freedom and so the responsibility, the accountability that the queen has.
Yeah.
And that's as inspiring as it is scary. So how do we start this? Where? Because, I mean, it sounds like the queen is on a high level. And I think it, yeah, you were very clear. It's not like you are always the queen at the top of the, no, it's a work. And sometimes you have to realign with the queen. But how do we start?
I think we can start in loads and loads of different places. My coach, who didn't teach me queen, but he uses this phrase, he says one wise decision a day. Mm-hmm. And I really love that, because I think when you say one wise decision, you start to think a little bit differently, right? So I'm stealing that from him. His name's Robert Holden. Everyone can go and look him up if they want. But he's really fabulous in this space. I think another place we can play is where in my life am I dissatisfied in what's happening or in my relationships? Like, where am I starting to put on my armor, fight through, burn out, or just moan, right? Where is a scenario in my life where I'm making one of those choices? And even though it might feel really sticky just to sit with, if I was a queen and my job was to live a long, healthy life and to create a prosperous, flourishing nation, and therefore I had to be discerning about where my energy went and where I put my time, if I was the queen, what would I choose then?
Yeah.
And so sometimes one of the things I have, here's a really simple thing people can do. I'm going to wave it at you. This is my queen ring.
Yeah.
And I have two. Beautiful. Yeah, I have a daytime ring and I have an evening ring, which is really blingy and enormous. And this ring doesn't look like the rest of my jewelry. Just to show you, I'm quite understated with what I wear. This is like a crazy new age thing that I bought in Camden Market in London. And the point of this ring is that you could wear a necklace or a scarf or whatever, but you don't look at your neck very often, right? If you're anything like most of the world, you're typing all the time and you're texting. So you see your hands a lot, right? And this ring, a great excuse to go and purchase something, by the way, is because it doesn't look like my other jewelry. It really shocks me. I don't know what it is about it. I keep looking, that's not my ring. Right? And the shock of it has me go, oh, I'm a queen, right? I'm a queen. Yeah. And then a couple of times a day, it just reminds me of that. So I want to say this. One of the things we all want when a new solution comes our way is to flip to it straight away. Commit to this being 1% more queen today than you were yesterday. Just one. And if you do that every day for a year, you've nailed it, right?
Right. Yeah. And that's not scary anymore. Definitely not scary anymore. And you got a nice piece of jewelry for yourself.
Exactly. And step one might just be just go out and buy the ring. But also I think you can look at the women out there who are doing this. They've got a lot to teach us. Right. Yeah. So often I will say when I'm teaching this in a keynote or a masterclass, like, who is modeling this for us in the world? And most of us have examples of people who speak powerfully, who are compelling, who can say things to you nobody else can say, who are doing the things that matter to them and who are looking after themselves. Mm. And then go and watch how they do it. Yeah. Because they're modeling it to you. And so, you know, I will regularly say, whoever it might be for you, I can give some examples here, and I want to say up front, if you don't agree with them, that's great. Go and find your own. But queens are not out in the world declaring war. That's the really clear distinction, right? They're doing powerful work, but they're not declaring war, whatever that might look like. And so we often lean into people like Jacinda Ardern, the Prime Minister of New Zealand. Michelle Obama comes up a lot. I get that's politically challenging for different parties. So it's easier in the UK because we're not attached to parties. I think Judi Dench is a beautiful example of someone who just, you can see where they ask her to be a queen, right? Brené Brown just speaks into queen really well. Look at how they say things. Like, what is it they're saying? Because most of them have really crafted tone and language. Because all the difference often between warrior and queen is the way I say the words. So I could say to you, this is not going to continue anymore. Right? Or I could say, this is just not going to carry on anymore. I said the same things. But the second one allows you to listen. The first one has you get ready with your sword.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's a clear difference.
Yeah. So go and watch the queens. There's loads of them. And there's good kings too. Good news. If there's any, if I'm sure there are men that listen to your podcast too.
Oh yeah. Oh,
loads
yeah.
of good kings out there. We just teach queen because our organization's called Remarkable Women, right? One of the things I love when I go into a keynote to mixed genders is it's my favorite thing when a guy comes up to me and goes, oh my God, thank God. Thank God. I am tired of this.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine the freedom to say, oh my God, there is another way. Yeah. You're giving hope to people. That's so important. Mm-hmm. I feel since we started to discuss that I feel more powerful just because there is options that looks more like me. Yes. No, I'm not cheesy because I want love in the world. No, I'm just making sense. Yeah.
Well, who wants a world where we can't be decent to each other?
Yeah.
You know, and in this world and this era where we are so damn polarized, we have got to stop making each other wrong.
Yeah, please.
You know, and the damage we've done in the last few years, certainly in the UK with Brexit, with that now with the pandemic and not being able to listen to people is not worth it, I don't think.
No, completely not.
You know, and so because when in your life has anyone ever gone, you're wrong. Let me show you all the evidence. You're an idiot. And you go, oh, you're right. Thank you so much for showing me I'm an idiot. Hey, that never happens. You go, you're an idiot. And let me show you where you are, right?
Yeah, definitely. No, it makes a lot of sense again. And so what does success look like? When do you know you're doing a great job about it?
I think you know you're doing a great job when things come to you easier.
Hmm.
And they really do. I mean, our queen work is really about let's put the impact, the thing we want to create above everything else, the small voice in our head, the way we want to please other people, the way we make other people wrong. Let's put what we want to create above anything else. And so we serve and we don't please anymore, but we also don't fight and we don't make people wrong. It is glorious when something shifts in your life that before has always seemed really hard. It is glorious when you see people in your world having honest conversations. It is glorious when a battle that might have gone on for a year takes a day. And you see it really quickly, be my truth, even when you're practicing. Yeah. I had a guy write to me after a masterclass a couple of years ago in the pandemic, actually. And it was an International Women's Day event. He, bless him, he thought he was going to learn something to give to his wife and his daughter. What? And he wrote to me afterwards and he said, I was really cynical about everything you were saying. And he had a load of really intelligent questions that were very helpful. But he said, I was really cynical. It wasn't what I expected. But I thought I'll go and try it. He said, and I went and had a conversation with a guy on my team who's been winding me up for about 2 years. And to be honest with you, I'd just been trying to work out how I could fire him. He said, and I had this conversation with him. He said, I know more about him now than I have ever known before because I was just making things up. He said, and I'm really delighted and I'm hacked off with you. And he said, I'm delighted because I realize I've been doing a poor job of this up until now. He said, and I'm hacked off because this takes longer, doesn't it? And I was like, well, yeah, of course it does, because this is real humans. It's not transactional. Yeah. You know, it's not transactional. But I promise you, you'll thank me for it. Because when we play transaction all the time, then we don't resolve the root problem. It's like there's this shiny face with like festering sores behind it, right? And so it's fun. I mean, it doesn't sound fun. Like I'm talking about doing really tough things here, but you just like, you kind of walk around like this all the time. Like, yes.
No, I can imagine how, when you take it step by step, when you start to see evidence, when you start building proof around yourself, that's very empowering. And then that's the best fuel you can imagine to continue to act like a real queen.
Yeah. That's and then the voice in your head gets quieter. You know, that voice that wants you to play small. It gets quieter because it hasn't got so much to say anymore. Or even if it doesn't get quieter, you just pay less attention to it.
Yeah.
You know, because and I'm like you. You want to get queens are clear underneath the job. What is it I'm here for? right? And we were having a conversation before you hit record, and I am here to, in whatever way I can, to learn more about how humans interact with each other so that we can be more impactful, more powerful, and more caring towards each other. I would do that whether I was being paid to do it or not. Like, it's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't really care. And I didn't even care when I was in big corporate how much profit we made. I didn't give a shit, to be honest. And you can edit that out if you need to afterwards. I didn't care, right? Because who actually cares about more profit going to stakeholders? Nobody, but we pretend we do.
Yeah, of course we pretend we do.
If I can sit in a room with real human beings working on a project and go, what do we really care about here? Let's put our attention on that. And when I was looking after leading 10,000 call center advisors, do you know what I cared about? I cared that they felt like they made a difference and they mattered. I really cared about that. I cared that they felt like they were contributing. And I cared that they enjoyed their day. And did I get that all right? Good grief, no, I did not. Yeah. But I'll tell you something now, they got the results, not me. When I put my attention on that for them, they did better work because they felt like they mattered. And they did better work because they were enjoying what they were doing, right?
Yeah, right.
We made the profit. We made masses of profit, but I didn't give a toss about it.
And it looks like magic where it's actually a beautiful work.
Yeah. As you can tell, I'm a bit of an evangelist on this. It's so fun.
And I love that. I love that. I want to live in that world. I want to be a piece of it for sure. A member, active member. That's my plan. So now I have just one last question, a little bit more personal. What did you wish you knew about being a queen before you started?
I wish I knew that sometimes the strongest move you can make is to walk away.
Oh, deep, but strong.
Yeah, I wish I'd known that. There were, in my career, certainly, I was probably better at it in relationships. There were jobs I hung on to like a warrior because I felt like if I can't fix it, who can? And the queen knows her mission is more important than the voice in her head that says, you got to be the strong one here. That is your warrior talking every single time. Every single time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we walk away because that place is not ready for us.
Yeah. And that's a strong move. That's a very strong move.
And what a great question. Nobody's ever asked me that before and I didn't know that was my answer. So
we're both happy then. Thank you so much, Danielle. It was a pleasure to listen to you. It was a pleasure to learn from you. I'm very delighted that we had that conversation. I'm grateful. Thank you. And see you very soon.
Thank you so much.